Today we're going to talk about safeguarding our marriages against all enemies. Most people get married believing a myth that marriage is a beautiful box full of all the things they have longed for: companionship, intimacy, friendship, etc. The truth is that marriage at the start is an empty box. You must put something in before you can take anything out. There is no love in marriage. Love is in people, and people put love in marriage. There is no romance in marriage. You have to infuse it into your marriage. A couple must learn the art and form the habit of giving, loving, serving, and praising each other, keeping the box full. If you take out more than you put in the box, it'll be empty. So this afternoon, let's learn some ways to safeguard our marriage so our box stays full. First, by being faithful to God yourself. Marriage is comprised of two people. Safeguarding my marriage begins with me safeguarding myself. I must be faithful to God by learning His word and applying it to my life. Faith in God is trusting God, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of him that diligently seek Him. So then, faith in God comes from God's word. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The safest thing for my marriage is for me to believe God's word and to trust Him. God has proven Himself worthy of my trust over and over again. I can trust His promises because He always keeps His word. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that He should lie. I can trust His ways because His ways are always right, holy, and just. Psalm 145:17 states, "The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works." Every promise God has ever made, God remembered Noah in the ark and He saved them. God gave Abraham and Sarah a child. God delivered Israel from Egyptian bondage. God has kept every promise He has ever made. Thus, I can trust Him. I can safeguard my marriage by reading God's word and growing my own trust in God. I can safeguard my marriage by loving God. To love God, I must give Him my heart. Matthew 22:37-40, if you ladies would like to turn there. Matthew 22:37-40. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." How do I feel about God? How do I respond to God's commands? Does God have my heart? Loving God means putting God first in my life. God's ways must be first. God ordered marriage, one man, one woman, for life. God put the man as the head of the woman. God subjected woman to man. Do I agree with this arrangement? Do I love this arrangement? Or do I trust this arrangement? Two passages that stand out for us to consider are Proverbs 3:5-7, and 1 Peter 3:1-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. 1 Peter 3 states, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold our chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be of the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, and of wearing of gold or of putting on apparel, let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. These passages are about trusting God. They're about loving God, and they're about my relationship with God and no one else's. Do I trust in the Lord with all my heart? Do I acknowledge him in all my ways? And does he direct my paths? Am I in subjection to my husband? In my manner of life, chaste, am I reverent? Am I the daughter of Sarah? Do I obey my husband? So I thought I'd look up that word, obey. Sometimes we don't know the definitions of words. We just kind of go along with it. And it means to comply with the command, direction, or request of another. Submit to the authority of another. So do I obey my husband? This is not done because my husband is so good. He may not be. This is not done because my husband has made me. This is done because I trust in God and I love the Lord. And when I love and trust God, I'll safeguard my marriage. Thirdly, by fearing the Lord, I'll safeguard my marriage. The word fear means to be in awe, to have deep respect. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." It would be smart to listen to what the all-knowing God of heaven has to say. It would be foolish not to respect God's knowledge and instead trust my own. It would be foolish to trust some other human's thoughts instead of God's. To be in awe or to have deep respect determines our actions. Moses was told to take off his shoes in God's presence, Exodus 3:3-5. The children of Israel were afraid or in awe when God gave them the law on Mount Sinai. Do you all remember? They told Moses to go up. We'll go down. You go get the law. Exodus 20, verses 18. The fear of the Lord is the respect of the Lord. When we respect someone, how do we behave toward them? We give them our attention, don't we? We seek their advice and counsel. We listen to their words. We believe they know what is best. And then we'll implement what they say to us into our lives. Do I fear or respect the Lord? Amazingly, God said that I am to fear or respect my husband. If I fear or respect God, if I trust him, if I love God, then I will listen to him. Ephesians 5:33 says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverences her husband." The word reverence in the passage means to put to flight by terrifying, to put to flight or to flee, to fear or be afraid. How do I talk to my husband? Do I talk to him like he's a child or that he's incapable of doing anything? How do I approach my husband? Do I approach him in a meek manner, humbly, patient, or docile, overly submissive, or compliant? How do I talk about my husband to others? Do I run him down? Do I lift him up in front with my friends, or do I tear him down? How do I talk about him with my children? How do I treat my husband? Do I respect him? Does he feel respect from me? Or does he just let me do whatever I want to do? Have you all ever seen that? Where a wife has really gotten under her husband's skin and anything she wants to do, he just says, okay, just do it, whatever, whatever. So it's very important how he feels, if he feels respected or not. So do I respect my husband? The amazing thing is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. By taking God's knowledge and respecting my husband, I'll safeguard my marriage. Another way to safeguard my marriage is by effective communication. Communication is the act or process of sharing information between two people. It is a giving and receiving, the imparting or interchange of thoughts, opinions, or information by speech, writings, or signs. Something imparted, interchanged, or transmitted. To be an effective communicator, I must do several things. One, I must be a good listener, James 1:19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every one of you be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. I should listen more than I speak. Good listeners are not just waiting for the person to stop talking. They're actively listening. They're engaged in the conversation, and they give their attention. They have great eye contact. They are present. They are focused on the person. They are open, not closed. Body language is very important. They are quiet while the other person is talking. While listening, you are able to key in on what's being said. And if you're not able to key in on what's being said, you'll miss out. And you won't be able to ask good questions. I know when we were married young, I wasn't the type of person who would ask questions. I just listened, and whatever he said is what we did. If I even had a question, I would just keep it. I'd table it for another time. But you have to be able to ask good questions. So if you're not listening, you won't be able to ask pertinent questions. Relevant questions that pertain to the discussion. Questions that seek understanding and clarity. By listening, you can repeat back what you heard. Communication is effective when it is understood. When you are a good listener and ask good questions, you can repeat back to the person what they are saying to you, thus demonstrating to them that you understand what they're saying. And here are some questions that I came up with that you could repeat back. So if I understand you correctly, you are saying da 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 da, or I am hearing you say, and am I understanding you correctly? Ladies, don't assume. No one can understand another person's mind. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 8 through 11. It is not wise or healthy to assume your husband knows what you're thinking. Ladies, they don't. You must use words. Never should you assume that you know what he is thinking. If you want to know something, ask him. If you want him to know something, tell him. Assuming in either direction leads to misunderstanding, poor communication, and arguments. Don't just let it go. We often let too many things go for far too long. Eventually, we get upset and often explode. It would be much more effective if we share with our husbands our concerns when we have them. There is a difference between nagging and sharing your concerns. Sorry, ladies. Go back and consider the first point. Those who trust in God and respect their husbands have no reason to refuse to share their thoughts with their husbands when they have them. This part is very important. Don't forget to pray. Pray for your husband when you're having challenges. Ask your husband to pray with you before you have a discussion. Share with your husband your belief in him and your care for him. Effective communication with God will help effective communication with your husband. Few things will help safeguard our marriages than effective communication. To safeguard your marriage, appreciate each other. Marriage is a great blessing from God. It was not good for man to be alone, so God made us woman. We were the crown and completion of creation. I call it the three C's. Say it with me, ladies. Crown, creation, completion, and creation. Y'all get that? Crown, completion, and creation. Appreciate your husband's Ladies, what things in life do you appreciate? How do you treat those things? Appreciate your husband by meeting his needs. Are there any young girls in here? No, good. According to Harley, there are 5 needs. Sex is the first need. Attractive spouse is the second need. Look good every opportunity that you can. You don't always have to just get dressed up and put makeup on to go out. I do that through the week. Just put makeup, full face, and get dressed up. He comes in, what are you doing? Where are we going? We're not going anywhere. We're having dinner at the table. So ladies, look good every opportunity you can. Recreational companionship. I don't play golf, but I know a lot about golf. My husband loves golf and he loves basketball. And so I have learned a lot about those two sports. And sometimes I'll play golf with him. I don't do really well. I hit outside of the boundaries. But all he'll do is get another ball out, drop it, and say, hit it again. So become his recreational companion. Domestic support. He needs the children taken care of. He needs the food prepared, and he needs a clean home. And respect. He needs to know that you respect him and that the decisions that he makes for the family. And no kids are here. There are no children in here, right? No teenagers? Okay. Oh, okay. We'll forget that. Believe in him. Believe in him. If you want to know, just come ask me that last one. But believe in him. Be his biggest cheerleader. I am Brother Owens' biggest cheerleader. Share your thoughts with him. Tell him you believe in him. Show him that you support him. Listen to him. But most importantly, serve him. Philippians 2, 5 through 7. I have to pull this up, sorry. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Be on guard, ladies. Limit your time with social media. Make sure you carve out time for him. Spend more time together than apart. Don't allow distance to grow between you. Don't get too busy for each other. Nothing else is more important. Don't allow the children to come between you. And make sure you have a date night every week. We have been having more date nights because we're empty nesters. So it seems like every night is a date night. But make sure you have time for date night once a week. And lower your expectations. What do I mean by that? I think the world has fooled us into thinking telling us what a perfect man is. I think a perfect man is one who loves the Lord and his sins have been forgiven. The house is not more important than your marriage. Let the house stay dirty. Go to bed with your husband. And I'll leave that next one. In conclusion, safeguard your marriage by being faithful to God yourself, by loving God, and by fearing the Lord, by effective communication, and by appreciating your husband. 10 ways quickly to safeguard your marriage. Appreciate him daily. Meet each other's needs. Make time for yourself. Regulate social media. Remember to check your bank account balances so you'll always remember to make deposits in your love bank. Reconnect daily. Grow together. Don't neglect that other life. Okay. Y'all get what I'm saying? Respect your husband. And grow your spiritual life. Thank you, ladies.